Scriptures to Matthew 11, 25. We're going to go into... This is a dangerous day. Because I could talk forever. I'm not going to. I'm just so thrilled to be back. I could just stand up here and talk to you like I'm talking now. But we're going to go into a series called Jesus University. And I'm going to unpack more of this. I'm going to start the series today. And you don't have to pull it up yet. Just be ready. We're going to, hopefully at the end of a few months, we're going to know Christ like we've never known Him before. It's back to school time. And a lot of you got your kids back to school, but we need to stay in school if we're going to walk with Christ, right? We need to walk in relationship with Christ on a daily basis to the end. So, and I'll unpack more of this next week, but I'm going to challenge you to become spiritually healthier and stronger than you've ever been. I'm going to challenge you mentally because the Lord cares about mental. He does. And I'm going to challenge you physically because the Lord wants us to be mentally, spiritually, and physically fit. So we're going to go back to school. We're going to get in school and we're going to drill down. And for those of you that be intentional with your walk and some of the things I'm going to unpack, in 90 days, you'll never be the same. I guarantee you, you will never be the same. I'm just so excited. I'm so excited about it. I want to talk about it another 5 minutes, but I'll wait till next week. Praise the Lord. Jesus University. Was last week the last week to get kids back in school? I mean, it's like 4 weeks now. In the old days, it was the day after Labor Day. That's been a long time ago. But I know we've got college students back. We've got college students going back. We've got junior high, all the above, going back to school. And that's why I thought this would be a good time to talk about the school of Jesus, Jesus University. You know, aren't you glad as you go to school, your perspective changes? I mean, the way you thought in the fifth grade hopefully was a lot different than the way you thought at ninth grade. Seventh and eighth grade, junior high, your mind was definitely, and your perspective was definitely different than it was in the fifth grade. And then what about high school? High school, ladies, high school, men, your perspective, began to change. You probably, even at times, I don't even know if I should say this, but let's just say your perspective began to change. You know, I know a lot of junior high guys and girls that didn't care for guys and girls, but when they got in high school, all of a sudden they cared about guys and girls. And as you go along in college, college for me was a life changer. And it wasn't so much, and I did learn something, but it wasn't so much about what I learned. It was what I experienced in 4 years. It gave me a completely broader, bigger world view. And my perspectives by the time I was a senior in college was a lot different than even when I was a senior in high school. Because our perspectives change as we grow older, don't they? I don't see things in a lot of ways as a parent today as I did 20 years ago. I parent a little different because I've learned and I've grown. That's what we do as we walk with Christ. How many of you know you can't know all of Jesus overnight? It's a lifetime pursuit. And as you walk with Christ and know Christ, He begins to change you and He begins to change your perspective. It amazes me how different our perspectives can be. There's two old country boys, one city boy and one country boy, and the city man was driving by this beautiful farm. We got to see some beautiful farms in Wisconsin this year. It made me want to buy a little piece of Wisconsin. That's enough. I told you I may talk all day. I'm just rambling. But the city guy drives by and he sees this old country boy, older man, sitting on a fence. And so he turns around and stops and goes back and he goes up and introduces himself and tells the old guy, said, look, you know, I'm educated. I'm on the move all the time. I travel. I'm in this car. I go all over the place. And you sit here on this fence and you don't see anything. Then he goes on to tell the old fellow, he said, I'm sure you must not like to travel like I do. Now, this is a true story. Just making sure you're with me. All right, whoever said that. The old man looked down at the young city man and said, you want me to say it like he said it? Well, I can't see much difference in what I'm doing and what you're doing. I sit on the fence and watch the cars go by. You drive in a car and watch the fence go by. He said, it's just the way you look at things. I believe the Lord is going to change our perspective as we grow in Him this next couple of months. Matthew 11 and 25 says this. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Now, the Lord said, unless we change and become like little children, we can't inherit the kingdom of God. He didn't teach us to be childish, but He did teach us to have childlike faith. Can I get an amen on that? Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal to Him. And this is Jesus still. Jesus said, and He's saying to us this morning, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and what does the next word say? Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'm going to use this scripture to preach about this context. We need to get an education when it comes to Jesus. And thank God He gave us His Word, the inerrant Word of God. There is no error in God's Word. He's given us Word so that we can walk in relationship with Jesus. And one thing we don't want to happen at the Rock Church, one of our core values is that you have a growing experience, and we are very intentional about teaching you the Word from all levels, from the nursery all the way through, so that you will know God's Word and not be ignorant. But the ultimate goal is so that you will know God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. When I first got saved all those years ago, Pastor Phil, and a lot of people told me a lot of things. You see a lot of things on television. You hear a lot of things about God now in our culture. It's not the real God, but you hear a lot. You better know who Jesus is, and we better know the Word of God. So we stay in school. It's a lifelong learning process. People imitate Jesus in many ways. I think it's great that we teach our children to imitate through worship and that. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. There's a place for that. But how many of you know imitation's not enough? We've got to know Him. We've got to know Him in our heart. And let me tell you, so much that happens is we ask Christ into our heart and we tack Jesus onto our life. Jesus should be our life. Yes, we need to be in school. Yes, we need to have jobs. Yes, we need to even have hobbies and recreate, but not Jesus and. So many times we just tack Him on. We tack Sunday morning church on. Our life should revolve around Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. I may amen you to death. Maybe we'll. So many just tack Him on. He's just another thing in their life. And it'll get you nowhere ultimately. Ultimately, it'll get you nowhere. The Lord, and I use this verse often and always have, it's one of my life verses, talks about what is the greatest commandment. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul and all your mind, mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. He has to be all in all. And Jesus said that we should yoke in with Him. not drag him along. He has to be the center of her life. This is what I'm talking about. Just tacking him on gets you nowhere. Jesus University or being in that school for a lifetime will get you everywhere. So this is an 8-10 week series, but it needs to be a lifelong pursuit. I believe with all my heart today that Jesus still can make a difference in your life this morning. You can be on the mountaintop, you can be in a valley, you can be doing well, you can be doing not so well, you can be living in sin, you can be have life-controlling habits. I think Jesus answered all of that. The Scripture said that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. If you're in some kind of bondage, something's got you and you don't have it, and the list could be that long, and I'm not going to give you a list, Jesus is the answer! If your marriage or some of your relationships are struggling and this and that, Jesus is the answer! If you're sick, Jesus is the answer. He still heals. He still delivers. He still sets free. And if you're lost, because without Christ, you die and go to hell. It's just what the Bible teaches. I'm not being mean. I'm not being ugly. But Jesus made a way for everybody, every man, every woman, every child, every teenager, so that we can spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. And if you've sinned and you need forgiveness, Jesus still forgives everything you've ever done wrong. If you're not peaceful this morning, the Son of God can give you tangible peace on the inside when all hell breaks loose. See, I still believe Jesus is the answer. So the school of Christ or Jesus University is important. Today we'll talk about the foundation of spiritual education. We're going to talk about very simple concepts this next 8 or 10 weeks. Or so, but if you don't get these principles right, it's going to be hard for you to get everything else right. Right? If you don't build the right foundation, what happens later? Things don't work right. Things don't sit right. Sometimes things fall down. Having the right foundation is vital. And so that's what we'll talk about today, is three foundation stones. Very simple. That's important for every believer. Number one, our life must be governed, say governed with me, by Jesus. We've got to let Him rule and reign in our life. We call it Lord and Savior. Savior is Savior, and Lord is ruler. Look, this isn't down line. This is right now for everybody in this room. It's a foundation stone. If you don't get this right, you will struggle all of your life. Jesus has to govern, rule, and reign in our hearts. A life governed by Jesus Christ must be preeminent. It has to be on the forefront. And you remember when the disciples became disciples, they were called to follow Christ. And Darla has a life story, and I won't tell it. And I think someday she may write a book about it. She'll tell you all along the way when Christ saved her and when we came back to the Lord, when the Lord asked her to do something, she just said yes. You clean the church? Yes. You do missionettes in that day? Yes. Work in the youth group? Yes. She just always said yes. She said yes to everything but men's ministry. But she did say yes to this man. That's what Jesus basically did. He said, come follow me. Now, what's a disciple? And I'll just hit it quick. It means to come under discipline. Not like getting a spanking. Or not like consequences for sin or whatever. Although there are consequences. If you sow bad seed, you reap bad fruit. You sow good seed, you reap good fruit. But a disciple says that I'm going to come under, I'm going to submit my life to a coach or a mentor. I'm going to let somebody speak into my life, live into my life, and shape my life. That's what a disciple is. A disciple isn't just somebody that said the sinner's prayer. It starts there as you invite Christ into your heart. But a true biblical disciple is one that said, and now I'll follow you wherever you lead me, Lord. And if you need to change my mind, I'll change it. If you want to go left, I'll go left instead of right. It's somebody that's decided to follow Jesus. I wonder this morning, have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you really made yourself a disciple of Christ? Look, we believe in altar calls. We pray for people. I believe for instantaneous answer to prayer. But if we don't follow up as followers, I've seen people get free at the altar and 10 weeks later be more bound up than they were on the altar because they didn't walk with Jesus. A life with Christ is a life that's continually becoming more occupied with Jesus. That's exciting to me. As time passes, Jesus becomes greater and greater and greater in your life. Not 20 years ago when you asked him in. You may have been saved 2 days, 2 years, 20 years, or 50 years. If you're a disciple and you want to get this foundation stone in place, Jesus is continually becoming greater and greater and greater in your life. He means more and more to you. He'll change your personal views if you're a follower. Well, I know the Bible says that, but I don't believe that way. You're not a disciple. Well, I know the Word says that, but it's not my personal belief. It's not what he believes, though. As Jesus becomes greater and greater, as we see him revealed in his Word, we're willing, sometimes with his help called grace, to change our personal viewpoints. I've had to change, especially up front. I was probably, politically speaking, a moderate with some very conservative views and some extremely liberal views. And I had to sort out what the Bible had to say about all those views. And take on, so I had to change some of my thinking and some of my habits, and my worldview so that it would line up with Jesus and his Word. You've got to be willing to adjust your belief system and let it line up according to the Word, which in turn, with Christ's help, you've got to be able to adjust your behavior system because we want our behaviors, how we live, to line up with how Jesus lives. Somebody give me an amen on that. That's three amens in one day. I don't do that much anymore. Scripture says that he is the way and the truth and the life. Does what I just said describe you? If we come to a place where we've heard it all and said it all, and you know, when you've been in the church 20, 30, 40 years, you've heard about everything preached just different ways you can hear. So don't miss, I mean, but if you get to a place where you've heard it all and heard it all said, you will become stale. I've heard John 6, 3:16, I don't know, tens of thousands, 10,000, so many times that I can't count. But I still love the Scripture. It still touches my heart that says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son that whoever would believe would not perish, but have everlasting life. How does that get stale? But if you sit there and go, I heard that in Sunday school. We let Jesus govern our life. Paul said, I want to know Christ in Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and to participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And he goes on to say, so that I can become like him in his life. Paul, to the very end, when he was writing the church in Philippi, he was toward the end of his life, and he was still saying, I want to know Jesus. I want my life governed by Jesus. There's still more I can know about Almighty God. Oh, I want to know him from the beginning to the end. In my mind, I don't want to just start strong. I want to finish strong in the Lord. What about you? From beginning to end, the essence of a life governed by Jesus Christ is one that's a disciple and following, and somebody that's saying, yes, Jesus, let him govern your lives. Now you ready to go to school? You ready to go to school? That's the starting point. With Christ, it's all or nothing. That's the basic of all the basics. Well, number two, this is really important, and maybe this will be helpful to some of you. Jesus is different than we are. Well, Pastor, that's really revelation knowledge. No, let me dig in a little bit here. I mean, we, as we walk with him, become what? Say it, Christ-like. In fact, I become less like Dale in the flesh and more like Christ that lives in me, right? But what I've learned now for a long time is Jesus is not like me. He's different than we are. And I'm just going to give you one instance where there was a difference of opinion. I could go through the scripture and give you instance after instance after. Did I mention that the second point is Jesus is not like us? Well, then quit trying to make him like you. John 2:1-4, there was a big wedding, the wine's run out, and Mama has a different idea than Jesus. And we just read a few verses. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, I don't know how she said it to him. I don't know what her tone was. So I'm not going to guess. I have guessed many times. You think she said it like this? They have no more wine. Do you? I don't think she did that either. Maybe it was running low. She goes, they have no more wine. I don't know. I'm just having a little fun. Well, then all y'all shaking your head, nodding your head. What do you think? You have an idea. And some of you are moving your mouth out there going. She said, regardless of how she said it, I mean, the way Darla would have said it, and the way Eva would have said it, and the way Linda would have said it, and the way Tyler would have said it, and the way Angie would have said it, and the way Tina would have said it, might be all different a little bit. Oh, Tina's not a mama yet. Oh, Tyler's not a mama yet either. Well, y'all don't know how you would say it. They have no more wine. And then Jesus says, woman. Woman, woman, woman. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. I'm going to give you an idea of a different translation. They definitely had a different perspective. They had different ideas about the same situation. But this is Dale's. This is not an official translation. Woman, you and I are thinking in different realms. We have nothing in common at the moment. Look to your wife and say, that sounds like us sometimes. No, don't do that. Watch this. Mama, You're watching cars go by and I'm watching fence posts go by. They were not on the same page. What are you trying to say this morning? Jesus is different than we are. This is number two. If you don't get this, you'll still struggle the rest of your life. Jesus is not like us. Again and again, Jesus' thoughts with his disciples' thoughts clashed over and over again. Read the New Testament. Read the four Gospels. Again and again, the Lord had an idea. Peter had another idea. They were constantly, and if you read the Gospels, you'll go, wow, they had a difference of opinion on a regular basis. It's because Jesus is different. I want to ask you a few questions because I want you to catch this. This is a big, big deal. A simple concept, but a big, big deal. Let me ask you this question this morning. How hard is it for you to follow somebody that's different than you are? That drives it home. I mean, I don't know, but I had an old boss or two flashback. How hard is it to follow somebody that's different than you are? Let me ask you, let me take it to another level. How hard is it to follow a leader that's different than you are? Whew. Pastor Lawrence, all you got to do is be an associate pastor for just a while to understand those concepts. And I was an associate pastor in two churches. It's hard to follow a leader that we might disagree with, or they do things differently. How hard is it for you to follow somebody that believes different than you? Whoa, that's a whole nother level. Everybody say hard. Jesus is that person. We know he loves us. But Jesus has to become Lord of your life. And what you find out as you walk with him is he's different than you are. Isaiah 55:8, and I'll just read it, says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And then John 8:23, Jesus said this, but he continued. He's talking to his disciples and other people around. He said, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." Jesus was constantly showing his disciples and the crowd that his ways weren't their ways. He's constantly showing his disciples that a lot of his ideas are all together. Did I say all together different? And many times there would be clashes across the board because their worlds were opposite. And sometimes, and for many of you this morning, the Lord's idea about something and your idea about something is on polar opposite poles. There will be clashes in judgments, clashes in mentalities, clashes in values. His nature is heavenly, divine, perfect. We're not. Ours is earthly and sinful and in the flesh. The two cannot meet. There is no compromise. Jesus is the way. It's not for him to become like us, but as we walk with him, we become like him. Hallelujah. And one big way that happens is along the way. We blunder. Anybody here ever made a mistake? Half of us, and I'm not sure about the other half. Anybody ever made a lot of mistakes? Now we're on the same. Maybe, yeah. Maybe said a mistake. Woo! No, lots of mistakes. I mean, we blunder. I don't know where I got that word. We mess up. I mean, oh golly. And it discourages. If you really love the Lord and you kind of bump your head or stump your toe or fall or get in the flesh or whatever you want to call it, sin. We could call it sin. The Bible calls it sin when we get in the flesh. I don't know about you, but when I blunder, it discourages me. I'm trying to teach you, but I'm trying to be open. When I make a mistake that is contrary to God's word and who he wants me to be, and I slip and I fall, it discourages me. Now, I'm glad for 1 John 1:9, which I use all the time. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that was written to the church. We use it for the lost. It can be used for the lost this morning, but it was written to the church. It's a thing called confession, ongoing lifestyle of repentance. And aren't you glad for that? That Jesus forgives when you get saved. He forgives along the way. I'm just so thankful for that. But I do. I get discouraged when I stumble. Over the years, I've had to tell my kids, probably not enough, but many times, I'm sorry that dad shouldn't have said that or done that or acted that way. I'm sorry. Has anybody been there except me? It discourages me when I feel like somehow I've let the Lord down. I love Jesus, and I know he loves me. Well, let me tell you this morning, and we will move on. He knows exactly what he's doing. I'm not saying he caused you to stumble, because James 1st chapter said he will never tempt you to sin. But he's a lot different than you are. And he's going to allow situations in your life and people in your life and circumstances in your life where you realize, boy, I wasn't like Jesus today. Driving down 60, somebody about runs you over and you give them a little one finger wave. Boy, I wasn't like Jesus today. That wasn't very much like the Lord. Don't think he would do that. I mean, look, we need to be focused about it. We need to be serious about it. But at the same time, what I'm trying to tell you, Jesus allows things in your life and he's revealing himself to show you you're not like him and that you've got a ways to go and that you need his help and you need his grace. Because Jesus wouldn't flip anybody a bird going down US 60, and I'm just being funny that way. He wouldn't do it. And if you're a disciple, you shouldn't be doing it either. Because Jesus isn't like that. So number one, I've got to make sure God's got my whole heart where I let him govern my life. But as he's governing along the way, uh-oh, slip up. Uh-oh, slip. Woo! Jesus' view on abortion. I had to change my mind on that over 30 years ago, if you believe. Jesus hates abortion. In the Bible, it's called murder. And I'm just illustrating. I said, well, if the Bible says it's wrong and Jesus said it's wrong, it's got to be wrong. I had to adapt my worldview and make it a biblical worldview. If he's going to govern. But it's the blunders where he shows up. I mean, Peter blundered over and over and over, and it was so Christ could reveal to him, golly, I'm not like the Lord I'm trying to follow. And then God comes and gives grace. It's a big deal. I've parked there maybe a little too long. People come in my office and they made this mistake and that mistake and they want to blame the enemy, and the devil always does his part. And then I go, boy, it sure does sound like to me the Lord's at work in your life. And they go, what? It's just your perspective has to change. Not that you okay sin, just when you do it, you go, that's not like Jesus. I need his help. His perspective is different than your perspective. I mean, he's God. He sees everything. He's not surprised about what's going on around the world and in America. I mean, I think we should be engaged to whatever level we want to be. But the main thing is we need to be engaged with Jesus. Be kingdom people. Different perspectives. How many of you know that parents and children have different perspectives? I should get hands from the kids and the parents on this one. And would you agree with me? Sometimes they're different. I see some mamas, their eyebrows went up to their forehead and they went, yeah, they're different, all right. We had a family meeting yesterday. Good one. We didn't have it for a bad reason, but we had some different perspectives that we communicated our way through so that we could have a greater understanding even in the family context. But parents and kids, anybody getting their driver's license anytime soon for the first time? We got one over here. Dan, you're not even close yet, son, I know. But it's scary. Dan's a commercial truck driver, and he raised his hand. No wonder we fall into sin on the US 60. It's the truck drivers that's driving without license. A 16-year-old kid, and he just got his license, didn't have a car yet, wanted to drive his dad's car. And his dad kind of laid out. He said, you know what? You got about a C average in school. If you'll get your grades up just to a B average, that'd be one thing. He said, I want you to start studying your Bible. I don't see you studying your Bible very often. I want you to do that. And this is more of an old thing now. And you got to get a haircut. You remember that? They wanted to cut our hair off and I let it grow longer. Even the coaches made you cut your hair back in the day. I hated it. But his hair was too long in his father's opinion. He said, I want you to get your hair cut. Well, about 6 weeks go by and they sit down and talk and they look at the transcripts. Do they call it report card now still? No? Do they? Yeah. It was a long time ago. Do they still give citizenship grades? That was for behavior. I was a straight A student except for citizenship. I was always into a little mischief. I just thought the young people would like to know that, parents. So they're looking. He said, man, your grades have come up. Looks like about a B average. And kid's perking up. He's getting ready to get the car. And he said, your Bible? He said, I watch you. You're reading your Bible daily. I see before you go to school. You've got your Bible read. He said, I don't see your hair cut. Your hair hadn't been cut. And so the kid said, well, Dad, I was reading in the Bible. Y'all got it, don't you? You know, Samson had long hair. And he said, Moses had long hair. And he said, from what I read, John the Baptist had long hair. And he said, Dad, I'm pretty sure Jesus had long hair. His dad looked him right in the eye and said, did you also notice when you read the Bible about these folks, they walked everywhere they went? That'll preach. Some of you young parents and young up-and-coming parents remember that one. Dog, I wish I'd have had that one. So number one, we want our life governed by Jesus. Can I get an amen? Number two, we've got to realize not just at salvation, but as we walk with Him, He's different than we are. We're becoming like Him not like us. And lastly, and basic, it's impossible to reach God's standard in our own strength. The third foundation stone this morning. And let me say this, before or after salvation, you can't get saved on your own. You can't stay saved on your own. You can't become more like Him on your own. So it's impossible to reach God's, because God's standard's perfect. And I say this all the time. He's perfect. We're not perfect. We're being perfected as we are Christ followers. We're not complete. We're being completed as we walk with Christ. I say that all the time. But it's impossible to reach God's standard in our own strength. Let's read a few verses real quick. Romans 3, 9 through 12. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin, all of sin, and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Scripture says. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. Say, not even one. There is no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. And there is no one who does good, not even one. That's strong stuff there. Isaiah 64 and 6 says this. All of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Let's just keep going. Romans 7:18. Oh my goodness. Woo! For I know this was Paul battling. I believe after salvation. Some believe before salvation. The real theology in it is this applies both before and after. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but cannot carry it out. Whoa! Those are the words of the Apostle Paul. When we're in the school of the Spirit, when we've signed up for Jesus University, when we've decided to be disciples and followers of Christ, we have to realize every day that without His help, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. And God will bring us daily, sometimes weekly, at least monthly, to the revelation that we will never reach God's standards in and of ourselves. We can't do it. I had a pastor ask me, I won't bunny trail. We need Jesus, church. One, we need to make sure we let Him govern our life. He has to be the governor of our heart. Number two, He will show us over and over how different He is than we are. And then when He does, we have to realize, I need His help to become like Him. Otherwise, it's just imitating. Where we look good on the outside in certain settings with certain people, and we're still rotten on the inside. By nature, we're rotten on the inside, every one of us. I'm getting to the good news. But that's a basic flaw in so many religions and the New Age stuff that we hear in the secular relativism. They tell you that man is inherently good, and he's not. We're born bad. It's a major flaw. Now, we were created in God's image, but we messed it all up. In and of ourselves, before salvation, certainly, and even after salvation, without the grace of Jesus Christ, we're just filthy rags. Regardless of how long you've served the Lord, you should need Him now today more than ever. Oh, there's so many illustrations, but I can't go on. Our purest motive in and of ourselves is unclean before God. My greatest good work that's not a work that comes from my heart and my relationship with Him is still unclean. My best day without the grace of Jesus Christ is not a good day. We need Jesus. One, here's our hearts, Lord, govern us. Dear Lord, I've got a long way to go, but I'm becoming more like You and less like me. And dear Jesus, I see the changes I need to make. I see the adjustments I need to make. I see what needs to happen inside of me. But Lord, I can't do it on my own. Yeah, but somebody would say, you've served God for 3 decades. I can't do it on my own. I need Jesus. I need His grace. I need His forgiveness. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to live for God for an hour even. We're always going to need Him. If you're lost this morning, you can't be saved by your good deeds. You need the grace of God. You need to ask Jesus Christ into your heart and make Him Lord and Savior of your life. Disciple, you're never going to be able to do it on your own. Pastors, staff members, advisory council, leaders, we're never going to do anything on our own that's of any value unless it's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. His scripture, come on. His scripture says His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness. The three stones. One, are you willing to let the Lord govern your life today? You're going to find out He's different when you really start following and lean in. Lean in. He wants to help you. He doesn't want to push you away. He will help you when you run to Him. He's preparing our hearts, church, here at the Rock. And worship team, if you'll come, for greater things. Our theme for the year has been, and it still is to believe. For God has greater things for you. The Lord has greater things for you. The Lord has greater things for you. And I'm telling you the truth. I want to tell you a short story. How many have heard the name John Newton? Just a few. John Newton was a former slave ship captain. Imagine. That got saved and wrote Amazing Grace. So the deepest, ugliest evil. I mean, does it get any worse than a slave trade ship captain? Sin is sin. He wrote Amazing Grace. God drastically changed his life when he was born again. He met with a friend the last couple years of his life. His sight had grown dim. He didn't see very well, didn't move around very well. And he met for breakfast with a ministry friend. And listen to what Newton said. And I'm going to try to read it because a slave trader saved, a slave trader made whole, a wicked man made holy. The man that to this day, Amazing Grace is still my favorite song. And I love all our new music, but it doesn't get much better than His grace, does it? He said this, Newton said, I am not what I ought to be. How imperfect and deficient I am. I am not what I wish to be. Although I abhor that which is evil and would cleave to that which is good. He says, I am not what I hope to be, but soon I shall be out of mortality and with it all sin and imperfection. And then he goes on to say this last thing. Do you love Jesus this morning? He did. Listen. Though I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I wish to be, nor yet what I hope to be, I can truly say I'm not what I once was, a slave to sin and Satan. I can heartily join with the apostle and acknowledge that by the grace of God, I am what I am. And all God's people said, amen. I want you to stand with me this morning.